Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. A Columbia biotech company has announced plans to commercialize its products around the globe. Eternogen LLC develops collagen-based products for minimally invasive surgical procedures. KBIA's Ben Wilson has more on the company's expansion.
A year and a half ago, Eternogen received initial funding from the University of Missouri after biological engineering professor Sheila Grant discovered a regenerative medical platform using gold particles to stabilize collagen. University and industry leaders said Eternogen has attracted nearly $1.5 million in funds since the initial grant. They also announced plans to open offices in St. Louis and Stockholm, Sweden, as part of a global commercialization process. President and CEO Luis Jimenez says taking the product overseas will help Eternogen reach its long-term goals.
That puts us in the radar for companies because we've gotten through all the hurdles of getting approved. We're delivering a brand and a quality, so companies will be looking at that as, you know, the company now is in the position for potential acquisition or partnership.
Jimenez says the company plans to conduct human studies both in St. Louis and Stockholm with the current funds and plans to put its products on the market overseas as early as 2014. Ben Wilson, KBIA News.
The Columbia City Council recently voted in favor of purchasing 16 natural gas-powered vehicles, along with building a natural gas fueling station in Northeast Columbia. KBIA's Raquel Pimentel tells us why some community members aren't as excited about this decision.
The city council decided this was a beneficial long-term cost-saving move. However, community members such as Monta Welch of People's Visioning and the Columbia Climate says she wishes the council would have taken more time to consider other options and the community's opinion.
In the process of them accepting the report, they made this decision. One of the problems with that is there wasn't any opportunity for any further public comment on that before they made the decision.
Mayor Bob McDavid says the council did take a look at other options, such as the one Welch recommended. She had suggested the council purchase electric garbage trucks, but McDavid says that just wasn't feasible since garbage trucks cost almost three times as much as conventional trucks. According to McDavid, electric garbage trucks would cost about $700,000, while conventional trucks are about $275,000. The purchase date for the 16 natural gas vehicles has not been determined yet. Raquel Pimentel, KBIA News.
Most of the corn and soybeans grown in the U.S. are genetically modified, but not wheat. That's why it was so surprising when Roundup-resistant wheat was discovered in an Oregon field last month. The finding triggered an outcry from food safety advocates and an ongoing investigation by the government. As Grant Gerlach of Harvest Public Media reports, many farmers say they would like biotechnology in wheat to help feed a hungry world. But it's not what everyone's hungry for.
8 years after Monsanto canceled trials of wheat genetically modified to resist its Roundup herbicide, the unapproved crop mysteriously reappeared. The wheat has not been found in the food supply, but both Japan and South Korea are taking precautions. They've stopped ordering soft white wheat, the variety involved in the Oregon incident, until the Department of Agriculture figures out what happened. Bill Fries, science policy analyst at the Center for Food Safety, says there's extra sensitivity toward genetically modified wheat because it goes straight to your plate.
It's the staff of life. It's what we make bread and pasta out of. And concerns about GMOs are particularly strong when it is such a staple crop or something that we eat directly.
The Center for Food Safety, along with farmers in Washington, Idaho, and Kansas, are suing Monsanto. Farmers of soft white wheat are concerned about the market reaction. Monsanto wasn't available for this story, but has called the complaints premature.
I would like to think that we're going to overcome those issues.
Larry Floor, who farms near Chapel, Nebraska, in the southern panhandle, has his own concerns. He grows hard red wheat, so he hasn't been threatened by the finding in Oregon. But Floor would like to grow genetically modified wheat someday, and worries the Oregon case will bias consumers against it.
We're supposed to have a huge population that we need to feed by 2050. So wheat needs to advance in its yield capabilities.
Sitting by the workbench in his machine shed, Floor imagines what biotechnology could add to his toolbox when it comes to battling wheat's many pests.
We've got stripe rust, and we've got tan spot, and we've got wheat streak mosaic, and we've got the wheat curl mite, the Russian wheat aphid. Now we've got a new thing that we're really concerned about. It's called sawfly.
Perhaps a gene could be altered to make wheat resistant to sawfly, the way engineered corn is resistant to rootworm or corn borer. But there's a reason wheat is not genetically modified like corn. Farmers said they didn't want it. You see, about half of U.S. wheat is exported. Steve Mercer of the trade group U.S. Wheat Associates says when Monsanto was testing Roundup wheat a decade ago, it was unclear whether it would be accepted overseas.
We were concerned that the Canadian Wheat Board, our arch enemy at the time, would be using that as a competitive advantage against U.S. wheat.
If farmers couldn't export the wheat, it wasn't worth growing. Monsanto ended its trials. Then a turnaround in 2009. American, Canadian, and Australian wheat groups all agreed to commercialize biotech wheat together. Mercer says seed companies like Monsanto, Syngenta, and Bayer are all doing research. Nothing's likely to reach farmers, though, for another 7 to 10 years. But as the Oregon wheat case shows, biotech traits are hard to confine to one field. That keeps them busy at Grain Place Foods near Marquette in central Nebraska. The grain processor makes ingredients for everything from pet food to granola. It's all organic and certified non-GMO.
That's growing even faster than organic right now.
Grain Place President Dave Vetter says non-GMO foods are becoming a market all their own.
Our customers want to know, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of our customers are buying, because they want to stay away from the GMOs.
That's easy for wheat because it's all GMO-free. But cross-contamination is common for organic corn and soybeans. Every load that comes to Grain Place must be tested. Anything over 0.5% GMO is rejected. For some, 0.5% is still too much.
I had a customer that if I wouldn't guarantee absolutely 100% GMO-free corn, that he was going to buy corn from me, and I said, I can't do it. He quit. And he was my largest customer at that point in time.
The issue for GMO wheat, like corn and soybeans, ultimately comes down to tolerance. No matter how much farmers may want biotech wheat, they'll still have to convince consumers at home and abroad that's the wheat they want. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
That's a wrap for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Happy Independence Day, and thanks for listening.